Beloved, see what love the Father has given us, that we may be called children of God. And yet, so we are. And as children of God, you are called to be holy. Each and every one of you is called to be holy. Not just the person in the pew next to you is called to be holy. Not just the priests and the nuns are called to be holy. But each and every one of you is called to be holy. But holiness is more than just simply doing good and doing good things. Certainly holiness includes good works and doing good things, and that's how it manifests. But many times we spend our time running around and being so full of doing good things, but we rarely take time to step back and ask the Lord, which is the good things that I am supposed to be doing? Because one thing you'll learn as you begin to look around and see the need of the world and see all the good things that one could do, you could be overwhelmed that there's so many good things we could be doing or should be doing, it seems. But which are the things that I am called to do? That sometimes, like that story of Martha and Mary, Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things, but there is only one perfect thing, and Mary has chosen the better part. What is it we're called to do? Because we are called to be holy. And in fact, this work of being holy, of growing in holiness, is the most important work of your life, to become holy. It's the most important thing of your life. There's a story. There was once a man, and he saw a building was on fire. He saw the building was on fire, so he, of course, being a good man, wanted to respond and do a good thing and help put out the fire. He didn't have a bucket or anything, but he saw there's a river of water nearby. So he ran over and didn't have a bucket, so he cupped as much water as he could in his hand and ran back and threw some on the fire. And of course, the building was still burning, so he kept running back and forth, working really hard, spending all his energy to try and put out this fire. And as he's going back and forth, in the meantime, there's a man standing there. And the man's trying to get his attention. Hey, over here. But he's like, I'm busy. Can't you see I'm doing a good thing? I'm trying to put out this fire. But the man keeps yelling at him, tries to get his attention, but he keeps telling him to stop talking as he's running back and forth and trying to cup water in his hand. And in the meantime, he's also getting annoyed because there's this large snake-like thing in his way that he keeps having to jump over and he keeps stumbling and tripping over as he's trying to put out this fire. Well, finally, after an hour or so of trying to put out this fire with cup water in his hands and not accomplishing much, finally, that man who's been yelling at him, he finally gets so annoyed, he says, "What is it you want? Can't you see I'm trying to put out a fire?" And the man says, "That thing you keep tripping over, it's a fire hose." He says, "Oh." And of course, then it became much easier to put out the fire. But this story, I think, is a lesson for us that sometimes that's how we're living our lives, that we're running around and doing all these things, but sometimes we need something more. See, brothers and sisters, our holiness will better serve the world than any good work we do. And like the fire hose in the story, that our holiness will in fact make whatever good works we're trying to do more effective and better and easier. Those good works of trying to serve our families, of serving our spouse and our children, those good works of serving others in the world, whatever it is, those good works of trying to bring Christ to the world, that your holiness will make all that easier and more effective. So how then do we become holy? Well, the first step is to listen to the voice of our good shepherd. Like the man in the story, to actually stop and listen to the one who's trying to teach us how to be holy, who's trying to help us to see that there's another way of how to do this. And what is it we're supposed to be doing? So as I said at the beginning, today is Good Shepherd Sunday, where we remember that we're to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, who calls us, because he wants to teach us and speak into our lives, not just about to do good things, but what good things we're supposed to be doing, and how we're to grow in holiness, so that his light can more fully shine in the world. There's a little commercial you may have heard of, or a tagline you may have heard, that 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. See, you all know that. Skyco's slogan, 15 minutes could save you 15% more on car insurance. And why 15 minutes? Because, in the scheme of things, 15 minutes is a very short period of time. It doesn't seem to take long. In fact, 15 minutes is about literally 1% of your day. To be exact, 14 minutes and 24 seconds is 1% of a day. So 15 minutes could save you 50% or more on car insurance. But what could 15 minutes of prayer do each day? Taking 15 minutes, 1% of our day each day, to listen to that voice of the Good Shepherd. I have a friend, and in his parish, they've been talking about doing the 1% challenge, which is for at least a month, for 30 days, to take 1% of your day, that 15 minutes, to pray with the scriptures each day, the daily readings of each day, to listen to the way that the voice of the Lord is speaking to them through that. And so, I throw that out to you as a challenge. To take up this 1% challenge, what could happen if you gave 1% of your day to intentional prayer with the scriptures every day for the next 30 days? I think you would see a difference in your life. That you would start to become more attuned to the Lord in your life, to hear his voice and to know how he is calling you. And especially, as I also mentioned at the beginning, today, our shepherd, Pope Francis, has asked us to pray in a special way for vocations. So how important it is for us to pray, but also for those young people who are figuring out their call in their life, that perhaps to take that time to listen to the shepherd and hear in what way he's calling you, that perhaps he's calling you to a particular consecrated life, to a particular life of ministry that he may be calling you. But we won't know that until we take that moment, those times, to listen to his voice. So finally, to kind of wrap up this homily, a month ago, Pope Francis wrote an apostolic exhortation on the universal call to holiness. And it's a beautiful exhortation where he underlies what I'm trying to say to you today, that each and every one of us are called to holiness, and the importance of taking time for prayer to grow in that holiness in our ordinary and everyday lives. It's always great when the Pope agrees with me. So to close today, I just want to share with you some of his words, and I encourage you to look up this apostolic exhortation that you can find free online, his apostolic exhortation on the call to holiness in today's world that he just released on March 19th. So our Holy Father Francis says, "To be holy does not require being a bishop, a priest, or a religious. We are frequently tempted to think that holiness is only for those who can withdraw from ordinary affairs to spend much time in prayer. But that is not the case. We are called to be holy by living our lives with love and by bearing witness in everything we do wherever we find ourselves. Are you called a consecrated life? Be holy by living out your commitment with joy. Are you married? Be holy by loving and caring for your husband or wife as Christ does for the church. Do you work for a living? Be holy by laboring with integrity and skill in the service of your brothers and sisters. Are you a parent or a grandparent? Be holy by patiently teaching the little ones how to follow Jesus. Are you in a position of authority? Be holy by working for the common good and renouncing personal gain." Now, this does not mean ignoring the need for moments of quiet, solitude, and silence before God. Quite the contrary. The presence of constantly new gadgets, the excitement of travel, and an endless array of consumer goods at times leaves no room for God's voice to be heard. We are overwhelmed by words, by superficial pleasures, and by an increasing din filled not by joy, but rather by the discontent of those whose lives have lost meaning. How can we fail to realize the need to stop this rat race and to recover the personal space needed to carry on a heartfelt dialogue with God? Finding that space may prove painful, but it is always fruitful. Let me say that again. Finding that space for prayer may prove painful, but it always is always fruitful. Sooner or later, we have to face our true selves and let the Lord enter in. So, brothers and sisters, do not be afraid of holiness. It will take away none of your energy, vitality, or joy. On the contrary, you will become what the Father had in mind when He created you, and you will be faithful to your deepest self.